1500 WIEL now presents Heart of the Matter, hosted by News Director Ron Boone. This is a weekly community affairs program produced by WIEL.
On Heart of the Matter, let's say happy 50th birthday to WIEL. On September 28th, WIEL 1400 on the AM dial will celebrate her 50th anniversary. That's quite a milestone. The first radio station in Hardin County. Local historian and part-time disc jockey at WIEL in the early 70s, while stationed at Fort Knox, Paul Urbans calls attention to WIEL's historic birthday in an article he has researched for inclusion of the fall edition of Ancestral News, and that's now out. Reading a bit from this, he says a small tract of land for the news station was purchased in April 1950 from H.B. Clark on U.S. 62, a few hundred yards from the city limits. We need to say the building is still here. We're well within the city limits now on Litchfield Road. Work on the new state-of-the-art studio facility was begun on the week of April 21st by Deeks Lumber. The owners were announced as Stokely Bowling, Holly Skidmore, Horace Tabb, J.W. Hodges, and Clifford Deeks.
This hour, WIEL will try to make you a winner in 14 trivia.
A golden great weekend, WIEL. He is the best.
When the top strikes 12, we'll pull off and start rocking around. The clock again, we're gonna rock around.
The music you grew up with, 1956 through 1969. 14 years of the finest music ever recorded. Welcome back in time to the 50s and 60s on WIEL's Golden Great Weekend.
On September 28th, 1950, when WIEL joined the ranks of other small-town stations coming on the air in that period of our county's history, the Elizabethtown News the following day, September 29th, reported an opening talk was made by Bill Harris and Dr. L.E. Martin. The first program was one of hillbilly music. The Tuesday, October 3rd issue of the Elizabethtown News featured welcoming remarks by its editor, W.H. Marriott, when he wrote, "Of course, a new broom sweeps clean, but a good reception has greeted the radio station in Elizabethtown, which opened last Thursday." Music and news wasn't the only thing on the radio in those last seconds of radio's golden era. Religion took to the radio immediately as a way to spread the gospel. Severn's Valley Baptist Church held revivals with Reverend J.G. Cothran of Arkadelphis, Arkansas, and broadcast a morning devotional over the station from 10:15 until 10:30 a.m. daily. We have with us now Charles L. Hardin, who lives in Lexington now. He goes by Uncle Chuck, and he runs at least one of his businesses is Chuck's Tours. And Chuck, I understand you were one of the early employees at WIEL.
One of the original four, indeed. Bill Harris, William Jordan Harris, Jr., Russ Honeyman, and Rex Jones. Those three were from Clarksville, Tennessee, the Clarksville Mafia. And I had just graduated from Western Kentucky State and joined the station about a month before we went on the air.
Well, tell us what you can remember about those early days, either about the other three employees or getting a radio station started or how the community interacted with WIEL.
There was a tremendous amount of interest, especially Bill Harris, who was quite personable and had developed quite a following. And everybody was looking forward to the opening day, which happened about 12 noon, late in September. We had a young lady whose name I do not remember, who had been hired to do typing and the copywriting and the daily log. And she was also supposed to do a program for children at 5:15. And the station signed on the air at 12 noon, and in came a flood of flowers and telegrams and all the excitement and people coming by. And this young lady was just in her seventh heaven until 5 o'clock when she realized she had to tell the kiddie show at 5:15. Went in the ladies' restroom, locked the door, and started crying. And Bill Harris knew that I had taught one-room country school, so he gave me a book of children's stories and said, "Here, Uncle Chuck, go tell the kids a story." and thus was born my famous Uncle Chuck and his Once Upon a Time stories.
Well, back then, of course, there weren't a whole lot of... I've lost track how many radio stations we have in Elizabethtown now, but back then this was the first in Hardin County. You had, of course, WHAS up in Louisville and some other Louisville stations, and you had WSM down in Nashville and WLS in Chicago, but it was sort of a new experience to have a radio station.
After the Second World War, there were very, very few and very... of those, all of them, I think, got broadcast permits, but the very first one was WTCO in Camelsville after the Second World War, and Bill Harris came up from Tennessee to run that station, and then later came over to E-Town to start WIEL. You're correct. There were few and far between.
And the program, it wasn't real music intense. There were music portions, but there were other things, such as preachers and so on.
The preachers were your lifestyle because you didn't have to go out and sell them their advertising and you didn't have to help make arrangements for their money. They got their money, came into the station and bought their 15 or 30 minute program, which was quite a godsend to the sales department, certainly.
Chuck, how long did you stay at the station?
I was at the station from 1950 till 1953. I was interrupted. I was terminated because I wasn't productive enough. Starting a children's program for 15 minutes a day prohibited me from being the disc jockey at night or the disc jockey in the morning. Russ Honeyman was a country music man, and he was the chief announcer. He ran a country music show from 12 to 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock, and I was kind of an oddball, getting only a 15-minute program a day, 5 days a week. And management chose to eliminate me after a while, and I left, went to work selling Jell-O for a while, and then came back under another manager, and that, too, proved that I couldn't afford myself. So I was terminated in 53 and went on to Tulsa, Oklahoma.
About 1956, back in my hometown, teenagers like me, including me, put some pressure on the local radio station to sort of get away from some of the country that they played and play a little bit of rock and roll. Did that happen in E-Town?
That preceded us. That did not happen in my tenure there. That happened later on. In fact, I went from Tulsa on to Lubbock, Texas, where Billie Holly was quite popular. In fact, I was there when he was killed in the airplane crash. But that was just at the beginning of the influence of rock and roll onto the radio stations.
Okay, the station was started by business people here in town. Did they pretty well leave you alone and let you do your own thing?
I wish you hadn't have asked.
Okay, Chuck.
There was Horace Tabb and Clifford Deeks, Judge Hodges. There's another gentleman whose name I do not
remember. Skidmore, Holly Skidmore.
And then there's our good friend Holly Skidmore. The day the station signed on the air, Holly had to come out about supper time after he closed the store. He stood behind the control room door and noticed that the announcers didn't have anything to do while that three-minute record was playing. So the very next day, the first day we were on the air for a full day, Holly Skidmore asked the board of directors to get together, and they decided that the announcers had plenty of time to mop and sweep the floors while the three-minute records were playing. I have a picture of my arm in the ladies' commode, cleaning it up by hand, that I have proudly used as my resume, starting at the bottom in radio to work myself up.
Chuck, when I came to WIEL in 1973, we had block programming where we'd have a little bit of rock and roll in the afternoon. We'd have dinner music at night. We'd have gospel music at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. About, 77 or 8 stations our size started feeling like they had to pick one format. Do you think that's good or bad because it's been going on since that time?
To the listener, he may choose anything he wishes now. In fact, I listened in Cincinnati just several months ago to a Jewish radio station, which I thought was most unique. And indeed, the individual, if there is enough population in the area, can find anything and everything they individually would like. It certainly takes variety away from it, and it certainly limits the expanse of some stations, but on the other hand, I think it's just a part of the common society nowadays. You can get anything you want. Now, the old radio stations had a particular interest in serving the local communities. In fact, their major competition was the local newspaper. And the local newspapers and the local radio station have both had to make major adjustments to survive in the last several years.
Chuck, good to talk with you. As we approach September 28th, what would be your birthday wish for WIEL or for the E-Town community?
I have many fond memories of Elizabethtown, and especially one gentleman who was my landlord, Mr. Roy Grime. Roy had a little barber shop in a two-story frame house that's now the parking lot of what was the First Hardin Bank. And I remember Jim Pate and the Pate Motor Company and a great many wonderful people. Elizabethtown is a rare, rare community. With the access to Fort Knox and the availability, I would say that some of the people are spoiled in Elizabethtown from the good life. But on the other hand, it is a very unusual community, very successful. And as far as the radio station is concerned, it isn't an easy job in today's competitiveness. The community certainly should support the local radio station, the people that are the first you turn to in disasters and in emergencies, sometimes forgotten by the advertisers. But indeed, the community certainly needs to support WIEL regardless of its age.
Chuck Hardin from Lexington, Kentucky, one of the original employees of WIEL back in 1950. So good to talk with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ron Boone.
From our 14 weekend weather wire, sunny and mild this afternoon, a high about 52. Partly cloudy and cold.
Another very key employee and actually a manager at WIEL, Dee Huddleston, Walter Dee Huddleston. And Dee, I appreciate your coming on with us. How long were you involved with WIEL?
I was a manager there 20 years, almost to the date.
And those dates stretched from where to where?
Well, October 1952 to about October 1972.
Of course, I know our listeners know that you went into politics big time and came out as a U.S. Senator a few years later. Did you come into Elizabethtown from Bowling Green?
I came from Bowling Green, yes.
Yeah. Well, tell us about some of the early days at WIEL when you first got here.
Well, of course, it was a relatively new station, about 2 years old at the time, and the only station in the area. We felt a particular responsibility to serve this entire area with news and special events and sports broadcasts, and did that, I think, pretty well for a beginning station. And of course, as the area grew, the station grew too. And a lot of our work was almost experimental in nature. The small communities didn't have that many stations in those days, in the early days. So I think we did a pretty good job of serving the area.
I think you did a real good job from what I hear, and it was a very strong station when I came here in 1973, and I have done news at WIEL for 18 out of the last 26 years, and Bill Earle did it for at least 17 years, so that's a big part of that history.
Big part of it.
Bill was a unique character, wasn't he?
Bill was very unique. One of the really smartest persons I knew and could sit down with a piece of copy and read it for the first time over the air as well as any person I ever met in radio. He had his peculiarities and he did his own style of news broadcasting. Mostly he scribbled it out just in bare notes and then read it, and that presented something of a problem for us because nobody else could read his newscast. and so he almost had to be sort of like you were. He was a one-man news operation. But he had a kind of unique, sometimes humorous ways of reporting the news.
Well, he really connected with the community, and I know they appreciated the work he did. And a fellow came out of Kansas and made an awfully good sportscaster in Dick Curtis.
Dick Curtis was one of the best sports announcers that I've encountered. I'm sure he had opportunities. He could have gone to larger stations and specialized in sports. For some reason, he liked the community and stayed with us, and we were appreciative. And Dick had a lot more talent, too, besides sports. He was very creative in and doing a lot of our advertising, commercials, productions that we did for local. In those days, there was hardly any place you could go to get a spot produced. You just had to do it yourself, and Dick was very good at that.
D, drop a few more names on me. I've caught you here. Just
Tom Baldwin, father of
Mike Baldwin.
Mike Baldwin was our engineer for practically the entire time I was there, and did some announcing. Mike was a good citizen, well versed in radio broadcasting, and I had an interesting experience while I was in the Senate. I went down to Panama when the Panama Canal Treaty was under consideration. And lo and behold, I ran into old Tom Baldwin. Tom was down there working in a technical sense for the canal operation. And we had a long discussion, and his insights were very valuable to me in making a decision on that Panama Canal Treaty ratification. So Tom was an outstanding person. Of course, Bill Harris, we all know, that was a longtime citizen here and in broadcasting, I guess, all his life. First manager, I believe, of the station.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
And, of course, salespeople are very important. They're sort of anonymous as far as being out on the air. But if they don't do their job, we don't have jobs.
You're right about that. And Dewey Skaggs, Calvin Skaggs, his name, was a head salesman for me for several years there. And Dewey liked his work and knew the people and did a good job.
Well, WIEL is now this fall carrying Western Kentucky University football. I know that sports was a key interest of yours also.
Very big interest. I had followed Western Kentucky and did some broadcasting for the University of Kentucky before I came. And one of the interesting stories I like to tell is that the last broadcast I did for Western was in the NIT at Madison Square Garden. That was in the spring of the year, in October, when I came to Elizabethtown. The first basketball game I broadcast was down at Linvale, Etown High playing Linvale. And that was a big difference from Madison Square Garden to Linvale. But I enjoyed it.
Well, Dee, you have been a big part of this community and this radio station, and thank you for reviving some of the memories of the early days of WIEL.
It's a pleasure.